time, the Zone 932. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop alongside of Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer is our producer. Let's bring in Hall of Fame sports writer from the Associated Press, the one and only, Teresa Walker. Teresa, what's up?
Not too much. I'm just trying to figure out what kind of content or what I'm going to catch my cat Roscoe doing today.
Yeah, give us the lowdown on Roscoe the quarantine cat.
Well, we got Roscoe 5 years ago, a shelter cat, rescue kitty, and, you know, looking around, he does the most incredible things, and it's like, yes, I've been, you know, using some staycation last week in this, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to start taking and shooting some video and tweeting it out, because, well, I am used to providing content, and I figured we could all use a little light moment in our day with all the bad news that's coming out, it seems, hourly. And let's just put it this way. Who doesn't love an adorable cat?
We've enjoyed allergies. That. Yeah, we've enjoyed that content for sure with you and Roscoe. Did it feel sort of normal to get the first question yesterday on the conference call? I mean, it seems like it's been a year since the season ended a few months ago.
Well, you know that GIF, it's been 84 years from Titanic. It feels like it's been that long. But, yes, absolutely a moment of normalcy yesterday, you know, to be able to talk football with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. And yes, I do like getting the first question with John Robinson as well as with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. What do you see as the biggest upside, first of all, to bringing back Kamalai Correa with a one-year deal?
Well, he did come on late in the season. I mean, when I looked at his stats, you know, once the season ended and I saw how many sacks he ended up with, it's like, really? You know, and then you think back, and he did kind of flash there later in the season. So, you know, yeah, it's not a bad deal. I think the money is, what, $3.5 million to bring him back. And, you know, that definitely does build the depth because, I mean, we are kind of waiting to see, do the Titans somehow land Jadeveon Clowney in all of this? But, you know, let's face it, what we saw last year is they need depth at outside backer regardless of who all they've got. So, you know, that's a nice piece. He knows this defense. He knows the guys around him. So that's a smart one to bring back. And, you know, you bring in Jack Crawford. But, guys, I tell you, you know, the report, you know, Diana Rossini yesterday, the Clowney's number is coming down from that 20, you know, million a year to maybe 17. The one advantage the Titans have, Mike Vrabel coached him as a linebackers coach and a coordinator in Houston. So he has a pretty good feel for what he is. You know, at a certain point, it feels like they may have a shot at him if it, you know, the number comes down with the complicating factor. I would like to still see it get a physical and make sure that my guys tell me he's completely healthy now.
Our guest is Teresa Walker from the AP.
Well, Teresa, I guess I want to know then, what are the odds on the Titans re-signing Logan Ryan for the right price, even if it's for a shorter-term deal?
Well, Blaine, let's put it this way. Kind of like with Clowney, every day that goes by plays in the Titans' favor because that number's coming down. You know, we all saw the reports, I think it was Ian Rappaport a couple weeks ago, that Logan was wanting $10 million a year. Well, no one else has offered it at this point, or he would have signed already. So, you know, the longer this goes on, you know, the familiarity that he has in this defense with Vrabel, that locker room, et cetera, you know, probably helps, but, you know, that number, again, has got to come down. And that's where every day that goes by means the price does come down because, you know, it's been 2 weeks now into free agency. So, you know, that's what happens. So, again, same with Clowney. The longer it goes on, the better it plays into the Titans' hands. But let's be honest. I mean, this is a team that traded away Jarrell Casey to clear up some cap space. They may have decided that, you know what, we have Malcolm Butler, we've got Adoree Jackson, who at some point in the next few weeks they're going to have to pick up his fifth-year option or not. And they may decide that, you know what, we're just going to replace Logan Ryan in the draft if they go that direction.
What do you think they're going to do with Derrick Henry's franchise tag? Do you think they're going to work out a deal? It seems like he was going in that direction, at least communication still there, and Derrick Henry signed a long-term deal.
Well, Blaine, it certainly sounds like that the Titans want to do that, that they were talking before they did the tag, and that they're still talking. And the fact that, you know, Derrick Henry says he wants to be here, or at least that's what John Robinson says he's been told by his agent, that keeps everything, all the lines of communication open and clear. So yeah, I think that's a good sign You know, now the problem is when we get to that deadline and they have to either have a long-term deal or, you know, he's playing under the tag, that's when we can really start sweating some bullets. But at the moment, you know, signs look good because it does sound like everybody wants a deal. It's just kind of finding out and figuring out, you know, years, number, incentives. And, you know, this is a deal where incentives could be a huge boost to that final number.
Speaking of Teresa Walker, of course, the Hall of Fame writer for the Associated Press. T, what about inside linebacker? Because right now we don't know if they're going to bring back Wesley Woodyard. We don't know if they're still looking out on the market. What do you think their mindset is on that position?
Well, Mark, I think they're very, very happy with Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown. And, you know, if that feels like another position that they could be, you know, picking up somebody maybe in the next week or so. As much as they love Wesley Woodyard and his leadership, you know, that's a guy who's been in the league a very long time. And, you know, it, you know, besides, you know, that veteran's minimum, well, that's still going to be a lot more than you could get a rookie for if you draft somebody. So it just feels like this is the point where they hand things off. You know, Evans and Brown both had really good years last year. And Evans particularly, you know, rookie who really missed his training camp and preseason, it feels like he's fully blossomed into that role. So it feels like that's an area where it's time to hand off to those two young men.
Where do you think they're going to go, a backup quarterback?
Well, they said yesterday they really like Logan Woodside. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, Mike Vrabel talked about that even when he was, you know, working on IR last year, they had him trying to mentally prepare as if he might be starting on a Sunday, trying to get him into that mindset. So, you know, I'm expecting him to bring somebody in. Now, the question is it somebody like a Joe Flacco who's got experience as a starter in this league, or do they maybe draft somebody and, you know, 7 picks? That's, you know, they do have some holes that they could fill for depth. You know, quarterback's going to be the interesting spot. You know, at this point, you've paid Ryan Tannehill an awful lot of money, and he's relatively been healthy in his career, so they might roll the dice and take a rookie in the draft and see what they can do. But at the moment, you know, Logan Woodside has the edge just simply because he's on the roster.
I haven't done the legwork on this, but I can't imagine a team in the last 25 years or maybe even longer that made it to the conference championship with the place-kicking numbers that they had. Now, Greg Joseph never really got a chance, but surely they're going to bring in another veteran to challenge him. I mean, you think about it, Teresa, in this NFL, to get by on the poor place-kicking numbers the Titans had, almost a miracle that they made it to the AFC championship.
Oh, absolutely, Mark, because and the reason they did that without needing a field goal is because Derrick Henry went on a historic run for the ages. You cannot count on that again. I mean, shoot, the fact that they survived the season with 44% of their field goals made is absolutely astounding in hindsight. So, yes, they have to do something to ensure that, you know, you can't just hand the job to Greg Joseph, because while he was perfect on his extra points, those are extra points. At a certain point in the next season, whenever they start playing, you're going to probably need to send your kicker out for a 50-yarder to win a game or two. So guess what? Got to think that they are going to learn from last year's experience and just not take that, you know, that position for granted. I'm expecting some competition. I just don't know if it's a guy similar to a Greg Joseph who's been bouncing around needing his opportunity. That's kind of the way they went when they had the competition that Rob Baronis won. To get the job, a job that he kept for quite a while. Or do they go, you know, Stephen Gostkowski has been let go by the Patriots. Do you bring a guy like that in? I'm very curious to see what they did. They have to have a competition that they didn't have last year.
Teresa, for a guy like Mike Vrabel, who, you know, is very much a hands-on coach and a people person, I got to think this, you know, working from home and working remotely and doing conference calls and video chats and all that, it's a very different experience for him, isn't it? You know, as opposed to some people who are pretty comfortable working at home and doing these sorts of types of work.
Oh, absolutely, Kevin. I mean, this is the coach who, you know, got his hand dinged up working with Derrick Henry in, was it December, in a drill, and he's the guy that in the draft evaluations last year, kind of, I think he got his nose popped a little bit working on a pad drill with somebody. So it's like, this is a guy who is completely hands-on. If you've ever gotten to the stadium early, you see him with a blocking pad, and he's helping guys warm up. So, yeah, doing the Zoom and the, you know, the video chats and things, that's just not his style. But when you're a people person, like Vrabel certainly is, you know, your personality can come through that screen. And, you know, it's just his hands, though. I'm curious, what is he doing with his hands right now on these calls? He's probably got football in his hands. And, you know, shoot, by the time this this pandemic is over, that football maybe, you know, forget what Zion Williamson would do a basketball. Mike Vrabel's probably, hopefully, has a Nerf ball so he can just keep, you know, use it as a stress ball.
Teresa, we'll let you go. Thank you so much. As always, always enjoy our visits with you, and stay safe, and we'll catch up with you and Roscoe again down the road.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Do the same. Teresa Walker, Hall of Fame writer for the Associated Press, was on the conference call yesterday with Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Still a few minutes to get in here. If you like, 615-737-1045. Midday 180, by the way, is coming up at 10 o'clock here on the Zone.